Taking your calls right now at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546.
Well, back in the early days of radio, all they had were jungle drums beating the rhythmic message of traffic and weather from village to village. But did they complain?
Hell no.
Do you hear me complaining?
Hell no, because you got a massive secret race that caused all these problems in the first place.
Exactly.
And now, from the craziest city on the planet, this is Online Tonight, on the air toll-free at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. And now, the host of Online Tonight, Max.
Welcome in to Online Tonight. I am Max, and Online Tonight is where we chat about the latest in tech and pop culture, plus some random thoughts about cool and nerdy stuff. Things I'm having problems with, like my messages on my iMac. Happy to talk about those things. Pop culture, movies, video games, cell phones, all that stuff. We take your questions, your comments, your suggestions. The best way to reach us is our toll-free telephone number, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. But we also accept your text messages and email, and hopefully soon we will have our own dedicated chat server where you can pop in and ask us some questions. But in the meantime, chat is text for us at the moment. It's 951-395-1017. That is the best way to text us. And of course, we accept email. The address is show@onlinetonight.com. show@onlinetonight.com. I wanted to jump in with a little bit of Google news. Even though this is really a Samsung thing, but in case you don't know, the Samsung phones run Android, and the Galaxy Watch that Samsung offer also runs on a version of Android, and they apparently are huge fans of the World Cup. And just like you can on an Apple Watch and the Fitbits and some of these other wearables that you may have seen recently, they allow you to change the watch face. And the Galaxy Watch 5, Samsung's latest update, has brought a new fun face, according to some fans out there, of the World Cup. If you are following the World Cup, you'll be disappointed to know that, depending on what country, of course, you're interested in, here in America, we tend to root for our own. So we are disappointed that the Netherlands beat the crap out of us, for the lack of a better word. And the U.S. will not be making it to any of the finals. But if you're a FIFA World Cup fan and you have a Galaxy Watch, then you can check for the update and get a new Galaxy Watch update. It has a bunch of like flags and a bunch of other fun things in there so that you can show your support for your local team. Another thing that I found interesting about Galaxy Watch 5 is the cost difference between... I've been looking at these watches because I had a Apple Series 1 watch. And I really, really liked it. But at a certain point, Apple decided we're no longer going to support this with upgrades. So WatchOS 9 and some of those things are not working on a Series 1. So I'm trying to figure out, am I going to get myself a Galaxy Watch 5 or an Apple Watch or maybe an Apple Ultra? And one of the benefits, according to Apple, is that the glass face on the Apple Watch Ultra is better. It's supposed to be like the best thing that's out there. And Apple has been really good about having, they were the first to use Gorilla Glass and do these shatter tests and scratch tests and all those things. So I was kind of surprised to see that the $300 less expensive Galaxy Watch 5, their sapphire glass has actually outperformed the $800 Apple Watch. So there was a YouTube out there where they compared these things together, and the scratch resistance on the sapphire glass for the Galaxy Watch was better, far better than what you might be used to. I find sometimes it strange that I just heard something in the corner of my ear, and it kind of reminded me of the old days. If you remember when the internet first started, a lot of us had AOL, and we would be greeted by that wonderful sound, "You've got mail," or something like that. And so sounds in technology have always been kind of fun and interesting. And I'm not sure exactly why Google sometimes makes the decisions that they do, but you might recognize this sound. In case you didn't hear it, one more time. Well, if you liked that sound, you're out of luck, because it has been replaced by this sound. Floop. What am I talking about? Well, this is the messages. So the equivalent of iMessage or text messaging on an iPhone or an iOS device. Google has their own. It's called Messages. And if you have updated recently to the newer version of Android and you have been playing with that, you'll notice that the sound has changed. This bothers some people and it doesn't bother other people. So I'm just curious if you want to drop me a note or text me 951-395-1017. Let me know if these little audible notifications or whatever affect you in any way. Do you care? Are you super passionate about the old one and you're really kind of annoyed that they've got a new one? Or are you kind of like me, where you turn off most sound effects and you just have the phone buzz, like a little vibrate? Or I used to be so obsessive about ringtones and all these other silly things. Like, I had it one time where I had over 100 different contacts in my address book. I have hundreds and hundreds of contacts in my address book, but I actually went through 100 different ones and assigned a custom ringtone. So, like, if Victoria called me, then it would play like a Billy Idol song. Or if my dad called me, it would play like a Roy Orbison song. Or if, you know, somebody from work would call me, it would make an alarm sound. It was kind of weird and obsessive about that. But if you look at my phone now, it never ever rings. It's on silent and it just vibrates. I do have one or two different vibrate noises depending on who it is. So, because it's, you know, if it's important, I want to have a distinction. But in general, everybody else has the same kind of pattern. And so I'm just curious what you think about these audio changes and if they bother you or not. Speaking about text messaging, Google again reached out to Apple and said, "Hey, you really should join us on this." RCS, which is a new chat standard that they're really trying to get Apple to join, and Google's doing everything that they can so that people who are talking between Android devices and iPhone devices or iPads or Macs, when it comes to emojis and some of these things, they don't necessarily play well. And Google is saying, look, if you join this standard, we're all going to get to play beautifully. Apple's response up to this point has been, we don't care. Our messaging system works great for the people that we like. If you type in happy birthday into an iPhone and someone else has an iPhone, you'll get balloons and graffiti and all these other things that you can share, your heartbeat and all that stuff. And so why do they need Google? They like what they have, and Google just has to figure out a way to catch up. It's online tonight. Stay tuned. Geek Speak is where we take a technical term and we try to make it into easy to understand English. I don't always succeed, but I'm going to try on this one. This hour's Geek Speak is data breach. And when we talk about data breach, what we're really saying is your information stolen from some computer or some company And given to someone or taken by someone that you don't want to have it. Let me give you a quick example. If you have a bank account, or if you buy something at, say, Amazon or Apple, you have account information. What is your username? How old are you? What is your credit card number? What is your shipping address? Those types of things. And data breaches are can be sometimes an inside job, meaning an employee or a contractor doesn't go through the normal internet. They will go into the back room in the server room, and they will just download a bunch of the information and then leave the building with it. But some data breaches do occur over the internet, where a cracker or a hacker or some nefarious individual will find a exploit or some kind of hole in the system, and then be able to get into the that back end database and gather information. And you definitely don't want that. Most companies like Target and Amazon or Apple or anybody like that, banks, if they have, if they detect that they've had a data breach, they're supposed to tell you about it so that you can do something and try to protect yourself in case your credit card information or social security number or whatever was taken. These are those are things that are important to you and are broadcast around the dark web of the internet via a data breach. That was this hour's Geek Speak. Hotline Tonight.
Where the quality of our answers just might surprise you. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
Well, that's coincidental because we just talked about data breaches, and LastPass, as I mentioned, has disclosed that they've had another, what they're calling, security breach. The company says an unauthorized party or multiple parties access certain elements of their customer information. But they want you to know that if you are a LastPass customer, they weren't able to get password information. So they... Nope. Yes? I hear you clicking in there. They have said that your name and some account information had been taken, but they weren't able to get your passwords. If you know how LastPass works, they securely generate and save your passwords across devices so that when you go to a website or a bank or something like that, you don't have to remember those things. LastPass will automatically fill that in for you. Now, an authorized party using information obtained in August of 2022 had gained access to certain elements of customers' information. Things like your username and how long you had been a customer and things like that. But the CEO over there wrote in a blog post on their website that customers' passwords have remained safe and encrypted due to LastPass's, quote, zero knowledge architecture. So if you're concerned about it, you might reach out to them, or you might consider using a different password manager. I know sometimes that's a little bit difficult to do, but you have choices out there. And if you are concerned about certain things, then don't hesitate to reach out to their customer service and ask them about things, and so that you can, you know, feel good about the products and services that you're using.
Hey, Max.
Yes.
That clicking wasn't me, that clicking noise.
It wasn't.
No, I don't know who it was, but I did have something.
Oh, I well, the only reason I would say it was you is because I can see the meters coming from your microphone, and as the clicking noise occurred, it was your microphone little button thing was going up and down.
But my switch wasn't on.
Ah.
So I do have something.
Gremlins.
You were talking about data breaches, and I heard something on Nextdoor about gift cards. And apparently at some stores that sell gift cards, it was an inside job where the employees would take gift cards and use them and then put the tape back on the that covers the little password and put them back on the shelf to sell.
I thought they weren't activated until they were scanned by the register.
Well, that's the thing that confused
me. So did the employees then...
I guess they
scan them,
bought them for themselves
at zero cost.
Yeah. And then they used them and they put them back on the shelves, and then people were buying gift cards that didn't work.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. But you can always take it back to the store and say, hey, this, I mean, isn't that how it works? If you I mean, you've had experience with this before, haven't you?
I've had experience with gift cards that didn't work. And it's a very onerous process to go back and return them. In fact, they won't exchange it. They make you call the card company and hash it out with them.
Huh.
Because they have no way to return a gift card into their system.
Okay. Something that has been, thank you for that. Something that has been bothering me recently is I was trying to watch YouTube on my phone. And I had some challenges upgrading to 16.1 on my iPhone. And I thought, oh, I wonder what's going on. But I wasn't alone. It turns out I was not alone. And it turned out to be that the actual YouTube app, there's actually different ways that you can watch a video on YouTube on your phone. One, you can just use Safari, or you can use the browser that comes with your Android phone. But in my case, I use iOS devices. And so on my iPhone or iPad, I can go into Safari, I can go to YouTube.com, I can search for the video that I want, and I can watch it right there inside of a web browser. But YouTube also created a custom application so that you could go in there and using your Google login, you could have favorites, you could subscribe to certain channels, and so all those nice things would be right there for you. And it just kept crashing over and over and over, and it was kind of driving some people crazy. I have very little patience when it comes to certain things. I just decide I'm not going to waste my time trying to find this particular YouTube video right now. I've got other things to do. But later in the day, YouTube said via their Twitter account that they had made a fix. Now, and I'm not sure if this is just coincidental or if it was a back-end issue on their server side or if it was the app on my phone. My app on my phone did have an update, so I did update, and then I didn't have any problems. But I talked to a couple of my friends, and they said we didn't even have to update. So maybe they had something weird going on in the server in the back end. So, you know, who knows? If you experienced it, let us know. You can give us a call, 1-800-39-ONLINE. You can text us, 951-395-1017. And, of course, email show@onlinetonight.com. Stay tuned.
On the air live tonight, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546 is the number.
Online Tonight.
Well, for starters, they've got eyewitness descriptions that pretty much match up. And it's not the first time he's done it.
Is he in trouble?
It's illegal to obstruct the workings of a civil agency. There are certainly fines involved, possibly prosecution.
Do they know his name?
The police are on it, and they'll eventually track him down.
Well, they found me. I'm right here. My name is Max. Thank you so much for joining us. It's 34 minutes after the hour, or 25 minutes to the top of the hour, depending on which side of the half hour you like to look at. You can give us a call, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546, toll-free across the United States and parts of Canada, I think. If you want to give us a text, 951-395-1017, and of course we take your emails, show@onlinetonight.com. We did recently just get a text or an email.
I don't know.
Oh, go ahead.
This is from Stephanie from Stamford, Connecticut. I have some old X10 stuff like lamp modules and switches. Are these still useful, or what's an updated alternative for programming lights in my house?
Okay, well, Stephanie, thank you for the question. Greatly appreciate it. And I have a combination of those things as well. I guess I would love for you to have called 1-800-39-ONLINE because then I could ask you some follow-up questions. Are they not working? Are you unhappy with the way they are working, or are they working and you just want to know if there's something better? Just because there's something better, like I think a Ferrari is better than a Camry. realistically, most of the time, the camera is going to do what you want it to do. And if the camera is going to get you from point A to point B, then you don't need the Ferrari, right? So my question is to you, is your X10 working? Or are you seeing that sometimes the light doesn't come on, or you have trouble with the remote getting the light to go off, and those types of things? And X10 has been around since, gosh, I think I used it in the early 80s. I even had an X10 voice-activated butler at one time in my apartment in the mid-80s, which was really ahead of its time back then. And it worked for me for decades and decades and decades. And then I moved into another technology, and then they recently went bankrupt, and they got purchased again recently, and they're kind of relaunching. But there are tons of different types of products. If you, depending on which ecosystem you like, there are many different types of home automation platforms. You've got Z-Wave, you've got Insteon, you've got but a lot of the companies are trying to standardize. In fact, if you remember our discussion about the new Apple TV, if you buy the 128 gig version, it comes with support for a technology that is called, let me see if I can find that again for you. I wanted to say it was called Method or Motion or Thread. Thread is a standard that a lot of companies are moving towards for home automation, things like smart light bulbs, LED strips, thermostats, garage door openers, things like that. Right now, my house, where I have a few different things that I try out, I've got 4 or 5 or 6 different applications on my phone to control various things in my home. So I would look at some of the new technologies that are coming out, like Thread, or there are little appliances that you can buy that will. Home Assistant is an application suite that you can run on an old computer or a Raspberry Pi, and it will control all kinds of different products from different manufacturers. So it really just depends on how deep you want to get, how complicated you want to get. I mean, there's, in a perfect world for me, I would have a home automation system with a touch screen that would know when I walked into a room, me personally walked into a room, and it would set the lights the way I like. It would set the music to what I want. It would close the drapes or open the drapes. It would set the room temperature to what I want. I mean, my understanding is Bill Gates's house is like this, or was like that. So I would love a technology like that, but all the different pieces that I want right now all require different interfaces, and so it's not as easy for someone like me to do that. But there are a lot of people joining the standard, and there's a ton of things to look at. So if you want to replace your X10 stuff, you have a lot of choices. And you can, I'll see if I can find a website in the next day or two to see if that will help you. But if your X10 stuff is working and you're happy with it, then hold on to it. And then as things fail, look at some of these newer technologies from Z-Wave or Thread, as an example. Hopefully that answered your question, Stephanie from Connecticut. Greatly appreciate you dropping us a note. If you'd like to drop us a note, email show@onlinetonight.com, text us 951-395-1017, or call us toll-free 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. I am a fool sometimes because I click on things. I see a headline on YouTube, or I see a headline on a web page, and I say, I really should just see what this is about because it catches my eye. And some of the life hacks, I like to call these clickbait, but tech things that I actually learned something from. I don't always like my monitor to go to sleep. And I was trying to get a script or a couple other things that would keep my screen from going blank, because sometimes when I'm rendering something or I'm working on a program or I have a, you know, something that I want to just walk by and look at my screen to get some feedback to see if it's done, because some of the animations that I like to play with or the computer program stuff I like to do takes time. And you know, you have to go and get a coffee or make yourself a pizza bread or something and come back, hot pocket, and then look at your screen. And if you just walk by and your screen is visible, you can see it. Sometimes I hate having to wiggle my mouse or hit the space bar, because sometimes your computer will go to sleep and you don't want that. Well, I found a hack. Computer mouse meet analog watch. It's best if it has a second hand. What you do is you lay your watch down, you put the mouse sensor right on top of it, and that constant movement of the second hand tricks the mouse into thinking that you're moving the mouse around. And when you're moving the mouse around, your computer will not go to sleep, and the screen will not dim, and the screen will not go off. Even if you have a screensaver on, or, you know, dim or turn off screen with no use, because the watch is tricking the computer into thinking that it's working. This one I thought was interesting because I have a friend who actually does this, especially when we go to theme parks, or this is another one of those clickbaits where it gave me something interesting to look at. I have a friend who carries around a baggie. So if we go to a water park or we go to an amusement park that has a water ride, you know, they're very quick to get their baggie out, and they put their phone and their watch and their car keys. I don't know how many people know this, but your car key has a battery. Most car keys nowadays for smart cars have a battery in them, and they can get shorted out if you get them wet. So a heavy rain pour or on a ride. And so they put this baggie in there. I have this little thing now that I'm going to do for this relative. I'm going to get an old peanut butter jar or a jam jar for my peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And I'm going to put a custom label on it that says, put your phone in here when you're by the pool. So putting your phone in a peanut butter jar to keep it safe while it's by the pool. And if you have a nice tight lid on there, you can even throw the jar into the pool and it will not hurt your phone. Now, most phones nowadays will allow you to get them a little bit wet. Some phones are now, one of the reasons why Apple and other people have taken the headphone jack off of phones is so that you can actually bring them, you know, 10, 15, 20 feet into the water without serious damage. But if you want to keep your phone safe or other electronic devices like your car keys or your watch, things like that, you can put them in a peanut butter jar, so that that would be fun. Man, talking about peanut butter and jelly sandwiches is making me hungry, and our friends over at CNET did a grocery delivery service test for 2022, and they say, what is the best company to buy your groceries from? And they looked at several different. I'm going to actually have you go have a peek and see which ones you think are the best. But they looked at a bunch of different companies like Amazon Fresh. They say that's a great delivery service. They'll give you the pros and cons of that. They'll also tell you what the minimum orders and what the general fees are. And they compare Amazon Fresh to Fresh Direct, Instacart, ShipT, which is a horrible way to spell anything, but apparently Target couldn't come up with a good name for their grocery service, so they decided to take a bad word and add an extra letter. Hungry Root, never even heard of them. Misfit Markets and more. If you're interested in that, check out the article over at CNET. Best grocery delivery services in 2022 tested and approved. I enjoy CNET. They tend to give me some fun things to look at and stuff like that. Here's a quick trend that is driving me crazy and I didn't even really know it was a thing, but Pepsi on TikTok is now encouraging you to put milk in their soda. I think I might have seen that once on Friends. or some other sitcom, but I can't really remember, and it's not something I've ever tried. I did it with orange juice one time, and the milk curdled, and I got sick. Online tonight. Stay tuned. Bookmark this. I'm Max, and this is where we share with you a useful URL or website on the internet that you might be interested in. And I have challenges all the time with certain things. I have relatives overseas, and they are metric, and we are what? Imperial? Is that what it, or American? I don't know what it's actually Imperial. Called. Thank you. And the website that I go to all the time to figure out what the heck they're talking about is calculator.net/conversion-calculator.html. I'll put this up on the notes for today's show. It will be December, 4th for you to look at. And I will put that up there because there's a lot of letters to type and not everybody can spell the word conversion. Anyway, what's great about this website is that you can go there and you can like Celsius to Fahrenheit. That's pretty basic. Inches to feet, liters to gallons. But there are so many more things that you can do there. Everything from length, temperature, volume, weight, area. This is one I used not too long ago because somebody was telling me about the 2,700 acres that they had. And I was trying to figure out how many square meters that was to explain it to somebody overseas, and I was able to do that by selecting acres. So it was 2,700 acres and then selecting square meters, and it then told me that it is, let's see, is that a million? 10,926,512 square meters. So I was able to convert that without much effort. And you can too by using this hour's bookmark this calculator.net/conversion-dash, depending on what language you speak, calculator.html. That is this hour's bookmark this.
No boy or girl scouts were harmed in the production of this show. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
We talk a little bit about distance here sometimes, and one of the things that gives me a lot of anxiety and why I'm so hesitant to buy a pure electric vehicle is I'm used to being able to take the Camry or one of the other cars that we drive all the way to Vegas without any issues, and I kind of freak out every time I'm not able to get there on a single tank of gas. And I've looked at Teslas, and I've looked at Lucids, and I've looked at several other brands like Volkswagen, and I get nervous because I'm not sure that with my air conditioner and my radio and the headlights on at night, I love to drive to Vegas at night because then it's not so hot. All of these things use up your battery, and then you may not get there. So I saw this article on Fox Business Technology where a very first-time EV owner, they were trying to drive 178 miles, and it took them 15 hours, 15 hours to go there because of the charging, and it just seems like a nightmare to me. If you have an electric vehicle, I mean, how much time are you sitting in a mall parking lot or a grocery store parking lot charging up your car when you should be on the road getting to where you want to go? I mean, not all of us have the luxury of not having to be somewhere on time or at a certain point. And I feel that electric cars, at least based on what I've seen and this article, makes me nervous that I'm going to be late to everything and I'm going to have to sit around in some location that I don't want to be in just to charge my car. It takes me 4.5 minutes, maybe 7 minutes, to fill up my car, and then I can go 500-600 miles.
Wouldn't you make sure that your car was fully charged up before you left the house?
Of course. But, you know, if you only have 150-mile range or 200-mile range or whatever, where are you going to stop? Let's say we go from Southern California to Las Vegas so we can go to CES in January. I'm not buying an electric car between now and then because even if I charge the thing up, I can't get to Vegas in one shot. If I fully gassed up my car in California, Southern California, I could drive straight to Las Vegas and I'd still have a third of a tank of gas or a quarter of a tank of gas left. And that's if I blow the air conditioner and have all the lights on and everything the whole time. I can't do that in an electric car. I'd have to stop in where? Bakersfield or Barstow or someplace, go to that McDonald's train thing and sit there for 2 hours while my car charged up so that I could get the rest of the way. That makes me nervous. That doesn't fit my need. Now, people are saying, oh, well, if you only live in a city and you're just kind of traveling. Well, I live just outside of Disneyland, and if I need to get to L.A. for a movie premiere or an audition or to do an audiobook or any of the hundreds of other things that I have to do, that's a minimum of 70, 80 miles one way in Southern California traffic. And if you're not moving, you're still using the battery, right? Even if you're not going 60 miles an hour, your battery in an electric vehicle is constantly being used so that you can have your display and so you can have your radio and so the electric windows work. And, you know, all the computers that are in these things still have to be running. I'm going to have to get to L.A., find a place to charge it up, hopefully close to wherever it is I have to do my work, and then pray that I'm going to make it all the way back. It just gives me anxiety. And reading articles like this one doesn't help me. And so I am interested. If you have an electric vehicle, how much range are you getting? 1-800-39-ONLINE. I'd love to hear from you. It is online tonight. I am Max. More in just a moment. Stay tuned.
For the phone number, it's 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546.
Online tonight.
Somebody, please, tell me what that is, please.
Now, from the craziest city on the planet, this is Online Tonight, on the air toll-free at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. And now, the host of Online Tonight, Max.
Thank you for joining us on Online Tonight. My name is Max. This is Online Tonight, where we talk about the latest in tech and pop culture, plus lots of cool stuff. We tackle your questions, tech questions, or just some. Even if you have a cool gadget that you're considering for the holidays or that you got for your birthday or whatever, share it with us. Let us know if you like it, what's good or bad about it, so other people can decide if that's something that might be interesting. I'm also interested in movies and video games and things like that. Other nerdy and geeky things we're always happy to chat about here. Best way to reach us, 1-800-39-ONLINE. That's our toll-free telephone number, 1-800-396-6546. And that way we can have a dialogue. We can I can ask you some other questions if your question is on the technical side. Maybe we can work something out together. But if you give us a call, it's a little bit easier to that give and take, so you can be my eyes and see things and report to me. If it's by email or text, that's a little more difficult, but we'll give it a shot. If you want to text us, give us letters and words and characters over at 951-395-1017. The text again is 951-395-1017. And, of course, email show@onlinetonight.com is the best way to reach us. And all of those things work 24/7. However, if you call the toll-free number when we're not on the air, you might get a voicemail, you might not get a voicemail. So if you want to reach us after hours, text and email are great for that. During the show, call the toll-free number. We love to talk with you. A week or two ago, I shared with you that people that were riding roller coasters since upgrading to iOS 16 on their iPhones and their Apple Watches were notifying 911 that they were in an automobile accident, because apparently the high G-forces and the sudden braking and some of these things that roller coasters are known for were triggering the crash detection feature that's built into the iPhone 14, the 14 Pro, and certain Apple Watch models. They were calling 911, even though they were just having a great old time at an amusement park. Well, roller coasters are not the only thing, apparently, that are triggering the crash detection. Some skiers recently were skiing around, having a good time, and jumping off a few things, and not crashing into trees or anything. Clearly, that's when you would want the crash detection thing to work. But they were just having a regular day of skiing, and their watch kept calling 911. And so the same, apparently 3 to 5 emergency calls from Apple devices were coming in every single day in this resort area where skiing was very popular. I'm not sure what state that was, but it's called the Summit County Dispatch Center. Supervisor Susie was getting these calls from Apple devices for people having fun on the slopes. And of course, the advice is, if you are using an iPhone 14, an Apple Watch Series 8, or the newest Apple Watch SE, or of course the Ultra, if you have that kind of money, you want to turn that off. You want to turn that off when you're on a roller coaster or when you're skiing. Of course, you want to turn them back on so that if you're traveling down these steep, windy mountain roads and you have an accident, then you definitely want them to call 911. But if you're just having fun at an amusement park or on the slopes, you don't want to be calling 911 accidentally when you don't really need it. So Apple has released an update last week, I believe, 16.1.2, that is trying to optimize the crash detection a little tiny bit better. If I was Apple, and if I had any kind of say in anything that Apple does, it would be nice if, let's say, the crash detection went off and it waited 5 to 7 to 10 seconds, buzzed your device and said, "Are you okay? Is this an accidental crash detection?" And if you don't respond or, quote, cancel it in a short period of time, then it would go ahead and call 911. But because that's what you want. That's what it's for, and it's going to help save lives and all those things. I don't want them to make it so dumbed down that it doesn't have the benefit that it was originally designed for. But it might be nice to say, "I'm about to call 911. Is that what you intended? Or are you fine? Are you on a roller coaster? Are you on the ski slopes? Are you skateboarding? Are you doing BMX tricks? Are you playing flag football?" I mean, there's any number of reasons why this thing could accidentally go off, and it would be nice if they gave you a couple extra seconds to say, "Oops, I don't want to call 911. Clearly, if you're in an emergency and you can't respond, then 911 is the appropriate thing to call and get you the assistance that you need. So I'm hoping that kind of, I'm sure it'll flush out. It might be nice to have a little like cancel button or something like that. That can't be easily touched, because sometimes when you're flailing around as you're falling down a mountain because your parachute got stuck on a tree branch or something, you want to make sure that you're canceling things for the right reasons, or that they're calling 911 for the right reasons. So there you go. A little bit more in Apple news. You may recall that not too long ago, they came out with the M2 MacBook Pros and MacBook Airs. And one of the things I like to do when I get a new Apple device, like the Mac Studio or the MacBook Air, the MacBook Pros, and Mac Mini, and the iMac, I love to run Geekbench on there to see, you know, how much faster is this than my last generation, just, you know, to make me feel good about my purchase. In case you don't know this, you can go over to the Geekbench website and you can kind of check out how you rate to other machines, PCs, gaming devices. Well, apparently, the M2 Max, which is a new chip that isn't even out yet, it's expected to possibly be in the new laptops or maybe even a higher-end iMac later early next year. Some of the Geekbench results have popped up on the website. So it looks like the M2 Max chip that was shared on Geekbench is a 12-core CPU, has the ability to support 96 gigs of RAM, and it's identified as a Mac 14.6, which I think tends to be the MacBook Pro kind of family number. And so that's kind of interesting if you're interested in seeing what the future of M2 custom Apple Silicon processors are. You might head over there and compare that to the machine that you have and see if it might be something that you want to hold off on getting a new one over the next month or two, or wait until 2023 when the M2 Max machines come out. So that might be a lot of fun. Feel free to reach out to us. Text, email, toll-free telephone number. This is Online Tonight. I am Max. Stay tuned. Geek Speak. This hour's Geek Speak, where we try to take technical terms and turn them into plain English. That's what we do. We try to do that here on Geek Speak. This hour's Geek Speak is accelerometer, and this is probably one of the hardest ones that I've had to try to figure out how to simplify, because I understand kind of what it does, but I don't really know what the magic is behind it, and so I will use that term, magic. It's magic. Well, what does it really do? It is a device that measures speed and the forces of gravity. You may have been using an accelerometer for years and not even known it. As an example, the original Wii controller, if you remember the Nintendo Wii before the Switch and the other things that have come since then, the Nintendo Wii controllers have an accelerometer in them, so they know what angle you're pointing things at, and if you're doing the tennis game or the bowling game or any of these other... I like the sports stuff on Nintendo. The accelerometer inside that device figures out how fast are you moving it, what angle are you moving it at, what in relation to the ground or where gravity lives, which is below you, unless you're upside down, in which case it would be above you. Where is gravity in relation to where this device is? What angle am I at? How fast are you moving it? That's all the responsibility of an accelerometer. So they're used in video games. They're used in VR hand controllers. They're used in your phones and your watches. And that helps determine how fast you're... Oh, another place where it's used a lot is if you're a runner and you bought that Nike combo, the accelerometer is partly responsible for measuring how fast you're going and what the impact is of your feet on the ground. And that there's some really interesting things that you can determine. It can tell you, it can kind of tell when you're running on grass versus when you're running on clay, as an example, if you're a runner. So the impact that's occurring in your body. And all of that is made possible by an accelerometer. That's this hour's Geek Speak.
Trying to figure out where the turkey bacon is on this pig. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
Hi, I'm Max. Thank you so much for joining us on Online Tonight, where we talk about pop culture, technology, and more. In this portion of the show, I'm going to share with you a lot about movies and things like that. But before I jump into some of the movie companies and some of the memorabilia that I saw that's up for auction in the next coming week or so, I thought I would tell you that if you're not happy with your Zoom performance at home or in your small office, you might be able to go to your local AMC theater where they have created Zoom rooms, places where you can sit down and have a nice background, comfy chair, a nice desk, and a camera and a microphone, and you can do your Zoom sessions right from an AMC theater. They have partnered with Zoom, and they will be rolling out different locations beginning in 2023. They're going to start with 17 different AMCs across the United States where they will have a Zoom facility for small, medium, and large size groups to get together and use their area, their facilities, their network, their backbone. What's weird is AMC almost went bankrupt, so it's very interesting to see that they are now offering movies, popcorn, and Zoom services, so that's a lot of fun. Before I get into the auctions, a lot of people use either the Amazon Fire, the Roku Stick, the Apple TV. Some people use Plex in their own custom-built streaming services so that they can watch their favorite movies, TV channels, and things like that. Well, Roku recently announced that they're laying off 200 U.S. employees citing economic issues. They had expected to make about $28 to $31 million, that's how much they're going to give people to reduce their workforce. I always find this very interesting that some of these very large companies, and I don't know what the law is because I don't run a very large company, but I'm going to let go of a bunch of people so that I can save money, but it's going to cost me $30 million to let these people go. I don't understand how that works. If they have $30 million to give people so that they can fire them, why can't they just keep those people? Is it costing them more than $30 million? This is the economics and the business part that I don't know. So if you're running a big company and you can explain to me why it makes sense to not have enough money to keep these people, but you have enough money to give them $30 million to fire these people, I would love to get a simple explanation in my 8-year-old brain as to why this is even an issue. So I'm fascinated by that. And the other thing I'm fascinated about, of course, is movies. I am a huge movie buff. I love Back to the Future, Jurassic Park, Star Wars, the MCU, The Wizard of Oz, things like that. I love those types of things. I go to museums all the time. Recently, I got to go to the Back to the Future Museum when they had this touring thing where you got to see a lot of the props and some of the scripts and some of the behind-the-scenes techniques that they used to make. I mean, special effects back then were very different than special effects now. Not everything was computer-generated. They had to use camera tricks to make things work. So these things fascinate me, and I'm always buying lottery tickets. One of the reasons I buy lottery tickets is so that I can go to events like they're having on the 13th of December. The Hollywood and Entertainment Signature Auction is going to be happening in Dallas, Texas, where things like the 1973 Herbie Volkswagen Beetle that was in the 1980s film Herbie Goes Banana, that's going to be up for auction. You know, that really cool, kind of almost magical looking hourglass from The Wizard of Oz? I mean, that's from like the 1930s. That's also going to be up for auction at this event. And if you are a Captain America fan or an MCU fan, the actual prop that Chris Evans used in Endgame, his shield, that's going to be up on the auction block. And many, many other things. I believe they They might have a website, or they might have a place where you can go and check it out. I'm assuming they're going to take virtual bids. I don't currently have enough money, but if I had enough money, there's like two or three things here I would definitely want to bid on. Again, the Hollywood and Entertainment Signature Auction in Dallas, Texas. And that will be on December 13th. I believe that you have some time to look at the book or what's available before that. And then the actual auction occurs on the 13th, which I think is what? A Thursday or a Friday? I don't know. But if you know, and if you have certain things that you own that are memorabilia, I'd love to hear about it online tonight.
Online Tonight is live and on the air at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546.
Online Tonight. You probably spent hours sifting through endless website garbage to get here, so you might be interested in hearing
our top five reasons why the internet sucks.
Online Tonight. My name is Max. Thank you so much for joining us. I greatly appreciate it. You can give us a call, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546 is our toll-free telephone number. You can text 951-395-1017, or you can send an email. Our email address, show@onlinetonight.com. We love to hear from you. I also love video games, so I wanted to share with you a little bit of video game news. A popular Star Wars game has been made 100% free, according to comic book gaming website, is where I found this. A popular Star Wars game is now 100% free with no strings attached, according to them. The last decade has seen Star Wars return in a major way to video games. Video games such as Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, Battlefront, and its sequel Star Wars Squadrons. And the latter, according to this article, says that it will be made free to download courtesy of Epic Games. And you can get it from their digital PC storefront. And once you have downloaded, it's yours. Normally, it's like $40, $50. And if you are a big Star Wars fan, then you might want to check it out. Now, apparently, this video game came out in 2020. And it has a lot of reviews, and people have been rating it pretty well, apparently, above 70% by over 20,000 people who have checked it out. So if you're a Star Wars fan and you don't already have Squad, you know, this is the thing, when you buy something for $49 or whatever, and then a week later they make it free, I always feel bad. This is why sometimes I wait to buy things and I don't get the sale that I want to get a sale on, because I'm afraid that in a week or two they're going to make it free. Not likely with phones, watches, and computers and Raspberry Pis and VR gear and all the other things I'm interested in. But I always have that in the back of my mind. Like or they cancel it. Like if you were into Google Glass, if you were able to get a Google Glass back in the day. And then all of a sudden they said, "Oh, we're not gonna make that anymore." Or if you were testing out the Facebook Watch and they said, "Oh, we're not gonna bother making that," or you had just turned around and bought a Fitbit 2, just to find out that a week later they came out with the Fitbit 3 or whatever the newest version is. Buyer's remorse. Sometimes it's always tricky. When is the right time to buy? And that's not always the easy thing to figure out. There are guides out there for phones and laptops and things like that, because as Intel releases chips or Apple releases chips, they kind of have figured out over the last 20 years on history, like once something has been available in the stores for so many days or so many weeks or so many months, and Intel makes an announcement that a new chip is going to come out, or Apple, you know, has a phone And then they have figured out over a period of time that within 16 months or whatever, a new one's going to come out. So you may not want to buy that particular item 1 or 2 or 3 weeks or months before that happens. And this is why it's nice to buy things either through an Amazon or a big box store or someplace like that as an example. A perfect example is the Apple TV the Apple TV device that I bought. Bought it at Best Buy, and then 2 weeks later, Apple came out with a new one. So I was able to go back to the Best Buy and say, I want to return this. And I was able to return that and then get the new Apple TV. Not every place will let you do that. But if you shop carefully and you are very careful about how you open things or don't open things, you should be able to... I mean, legitimately, I think that's a reasonable thing to do. Why would you spend the same amount of money for something that's 1 or 2 years old when something brand new comes out the following week that you didn't know about? Sometimes this secrecy in product marketing, it can be frustrating. Something that I found not frustrating is that Microsoft has this really cool flight simulator game. You know, they've had it for a long time. They updated it not too long ago, and they now have their 40th anniversary update, and people are very excited about that because now you can finally fly helicopters and gliders inside the game. So that's pretty exciting. I have always been a fan of helicopters. Anytime we get a chance to go to Hawaii or Niagara Falls or some tropical place, I like going to the helicopters and flying them around. In fact, Victoria and I went to Hawaii right before they stopped allowing helicopters to fly over the volcanoes. And I understand why, because as I was taking a photo through the window, the plastic around my lens started to melt. And I'm thinking, what is this doing to the aircraft? And then a week or two later, they said, you can no longer get that close to the skylights or to the volcanoes because the heat is damaging the aircraft, which it would be horrible to, have an accident on top of 2,800 degree skin melting hot goo. So anyway, you can now do this virtually if you want to by having helicopters and gliders inside Microsoft Flight Simulator. I wonder if they would let you fly over the volcano. If you are a Microsoft Flight Simulator person and you can tell me if you can go to Hawaii and fly over the volcanoes in the game, that might be, well, excuse me, the simulation, then that would be kind of interesting. Give me a ring, 1-800-39-ONLINE. Would love to talk to you about that and see if it's how fun that is and how realistic it seems. Speaking of being realistic, this is kind of the dream of virtual reality and getting you into these virtual worlds where you can go to a concert with your buddies or you can go on vacation to Hawaii while you're shivering, freezing in Minnesota. Virtual reality, especially when the graphics get there and the environments are created in a very realistic movie-type fashion, this is the kind of the promise that VR has. And there's more than just one source. It's not just Meta and their VR headset. Sony has had one for quite some time, and they recently announced that the VR2 is now available on pre-order. So Sony is allowing you to get your hands on the new VR headset as soon as it's available by taking pre-orders. The PSVR 2 will retail for just over $550. I think it's $549.99 or something like that. And the set will include the headset, of course, as well as two PSVR 2 Sense controllers. And we had talked about that earlier, how it has an accelerometer and all these other things in there so that it knows where your hands are in relation to space. And that way you can control things or play games and things like that. If you don't have a PS5, and I know they're still kind of hard to get, then you may not want to order the VR2 headset because you will absolutely need to have a PS5 to make that work. And it will be available to you in the middle to end of February of 2023. So you can order it now, and then you can hopefully have it in time for... When is Valentine's Day, Miss Victoria?
November 14th.
I'm sorry, November?
I'm sorry.
November 14th for no. Valentine's Day, a week before Thanksgiving?
February 14th.
Okay. So it might not make a good Valentine's Day present because it's going to be 10 days later before you get it. And it says it launches on February 22nd, which means that's when they tell the shipping people or the stores that they're allowed to release it. So if you have it on pre-order and you're going to have it shipped to your house, you're not going to get it till the 24th, 25th, or 26th anyway. So end of February, though, you should be happy. Make sure you have your cash ready and your PS5 ready to go. And you should have fun with that. Speaking of video games, just a quick note of history. I thought this might be interesting. I don't go to Google's homepage very often because my phone and my web browser and things like that. If I just type in a search thing in the toolbar, in the address bar there, it automatically goes to Google and figures out, you know, where to go, and it gives you the recommended sites to visit and things like that. But in the old days, you used to have to go to google.com to check it out. And one of the fun things to do sometimes is just to head over there and see what they've got. They recently put a little doodle. They have a doodle where their logo is right above the search box where you type in the text. Well, Google has decided to honor the memory of Gerald, he used to go by Jerry, Lawson, who is the inventor of the original video game cartridges. So if you are old like me, or nostalgic, or like retro, if you remember the Atari 8600, if you remember ColecoVision, if you remember the Nintendo, and I think even the Commodore, you might know this. Did your dad's Commodore have a tape deck or did it have a cartridge?
My dad never had a Commodore.
Oh, what did he have? I thought he had a Commodore.
No, he had a Pong game.
Oh, for
it
some...
only played Pong.
Oh, okay. Yeah, oh, so it was just a dedicated Pong thing. My dad also had one of those integrated ones that had flippers on the side so he could play this pinball game and Breakout and Pong. And so it had a few different games. But the Google Doodle is in honor of Jerry Lawson, who is responsible for our love of cartridges. And apparently the most sought-after cartridge is one of the worst games ever made in the world, is E.T. It's apparently unwinnable. And if it wasn't for Mr. Lawson, we wouldn't have the E.T. cartridge to go and try and find. This is Online Tonight. I am Max. Stay tuned. Hey, I am Max, and bookmark this. I recently saw a movie called Spirited on Apple TV Plus, and it stars Will Ferrell and Ryan Reynolds. And one of the main topics in that movie, other than, of course, the holiday tradition of Christmas, or what is the name of this? What is it based on?
You know, Christmas Carol.
Yeah, but is there more to it than that?
You know, Scrooge and
the Christmas Carol guy.
Yeah.
One of the themes in there is that Ryan Reynolds is like a marketer, and he's talking about the value of live Christmas trees instead of these plastic things. And you do realize that if we stop drilling for oil, we'll have no plastic for anything. We'll have no plastic cases. We'll have no plastic Christmas trees. We'll have no plastic ornaments. We'll have no plastic bags. We'll have no car bumpers because all these things are made out of oil. But some people want to have a real live Christmas tree in their home for the holidays. And one way to get that is from this hour's bookmark, this recreation.gov slash tree permits. And there's a hyphen in there, tree-permits. I'll put the URL up on the show notes for this show. The crazy thing is that you can go to the National Forest Service in different states and you can get a free or very low-cost Christmas tree that you can go and cut down and take home for next to nothing. As an example, in California, I think right now you can get a Christmas tree for like $10. And they range from 6 feet to 12 feet tall. You can't go down to your local tree lot and get them that cheap, I don't think. And you don't have the sensation of being able to look at a real forest and with permission go and cut down the tree of your own choosing. Just try to make sure there's no animals or things like that in there. I saw something recently where an owl ended up in somebody's house because it was in the Christmas tree. But if you would like to find out how you can get your own Christmas tree, in some cases for free from the National Forest Service, visit recreation.gov/tree/permits. That is this hour's Bookmark This.
Online tonight.
Our other radio show is a Lamborghini. And as a matter of fact, we do own the road. This is Online Tonight. Now here's Max.
Okay, in this portion of the show, I'm going to share with you some things that concern me and things that I do not quite understand. But I'm sure there are some good things for both of these, though I can't really figure out what the good thing is for the second one. Let's start with another Elon Musk company. Obviously, he's getting a ton of press right now because of his takeover of Twitter. And I'm not going to get into the politics if you agree with him or you don't agree with him, or if you're going to sell your car and then buy a car from the company that was started by the Nazis. I'm going to stay out of all of that stuff. But Elon Musk owns several companies. He owns Twitter now, $44 billion. He bought that. He has Tesla. You know, he started PayPal. This is how he made a lot of his money. But he has Tesla, SpaceX, and Starlink, and Neuralink, another company which you may or may not know about. They are about to start, at the beginning of next year, probably the first or second quarter of next year, human trials of chips that they can attach to your brain. So cyborgs, we're getting to the point where bionics and cyborgs and things like that are becoming a reality. This kind of concerns me. I don't really know how this would work for someone like myself, but I did see a talk recently, and I can't remember the source, so I apologize for not being able to give you the appropriate recognition for the information that you shared with me. But apparently quadriplegic people that have problems with sight and sound, that this Neuralink chip might be able to help bring back some of these senses and sensations and the abilities that they weren't able to have by correcting something in their brain. And so that kind of interests me. If it could make me smarter or make me telekinetic or make me, I don't know. I'm sure there are other things that it could do. But if it's an interesting kind of science, it can be used for both good and evil. I'm very curious to see how it turns out, and I will keep my eye on it. Neuralink 6 months out from human trials. If you're interested in that, then you can check out their website and see if you want to be a guinea pig or not. It's not something that I'm ready to do. Some cities, we used to live in San Francisco back in the day when Victoria and I first met. We lived in San Francisco. I worked at an Apple company and Next and things like that. So that's why I do a lot of Apple news, is because I worked up in the Bay Area for Steve Jobs at Next before he went to Apple. And we did notice that over a period of time that the crime and the homeless people and things like that in San Francisco were getting a little worse, and we haven't lived up there in a decade plus, and so we're not really sure how how things are there, but it must be really bad because San Francisco just approved the use of robots that will be allowed to use deadly force. Now, they're not going to be shooting bullets at you, or from what I read, but apparently they have explosive devices. Isn't that worse than a bullet? Because explosive devices, at least in my experience, tend to go out all over the place, whereas a bullet just tends to go in a straight line. So I'm not sure how I feel about that. Let me know what you feel, how you feel about robots being able to take out criminals and possibly have collateral damage. It's online tonight.